be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door, and he preached the word to them. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened up the roof for him. And after they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, "Why does this man speak this way? He's blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking of themselves. And so he said, "Why are you thinking such things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, pick up your mat, and walk'? So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home." He rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astounded and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The Gospel of the Lord. Throughout this week in the letter to the Hebrews, we're getting our coordinates for ordinary time for the entire year about how we are supposed to live our faith. Earlier in the letter to the Hebrews, it describes first who Jesus is. He is the Word, the definitive Word of the Father, the message and the messenger incarnate in the world. But we have to receive that message. And that message is not just verbal, but it's performative. It's an action. So Jesus comes, the letter of the Hebrews tells us early this week, to lead us through suffering and even death to spiritual perfection. Once the letter of the Hebrews describes that work, it goes to Meribah and Massah. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If this is what the Lord wants to do in your life, don't stiffen to it. Let him work. Collaborate fully. Yesterday started to exhort us to enter into this work. Today it continues, and it's a lesson for our entire life. Let us be on our guard while the promise of entering into his rest remains. If we don't harden our hearts, but receive that work of the Lord in a heart like Our Lady that says, "Let my whole life develop according to your word," we will receive the promise of entering into his rest. This word of God, not just the words, but the person of Jesus, is meant to profit us. The author of the letter to Hebrews says the Israelites in the desert, after all of God's works to liberate them from Pharaoh, they began to have the hardening of all of their arteries and the stiffening of that heart. And they almost wanted to stone Moses for leading them out into the desert. God said that they were not going to enter into his rest. And that first had an interpretation. Deuteronomy 12, we see that entering into his rest means entering into the promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey, after God has defeated all their enemies, that's where they would enter into the rest after all the work. But there'll be more specific meanings as we go forward. But that word is supposed to profit them. At the very end, it says, let us strive to enter into that rest, so that no one may fall after the same example of disobedience, this failure to hear as a word to be done, to strive, to enter into the rest. At a spiritual level, we're not journeying from Egypt to Israel. What we are doing is from our own weakness and our own conceptions, through Jesus' own suffering and death, into this new reality, this land, this space, this relationship, in which first there's peace from our enemies, that even when everybody else is still assailing around us, it's happened to the Israelites. We have confidence that God has defeated them all, a confidence like David had going up against Goliath and the Philistines. Yeah, the enemies will still be there, but we're with the Lord, and that gives great peace. Second thing we see about this peace is it means entering into perfection. To enter into the rest of the Lord is to enter into a seventh day, as the letter to the Hebrews says. And that seventh day is when God brought his work to completion. To strive to enter into the rest of the Lord means to strive to enter into that perfection that Jesus the Perfector wants to bring about through suffering. And the third thing we could say about that rest is it's literally entering into God. Jesus would say, St. Matthew's Gospel, come to me, all you are burdened, take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. I will give you rest, he says. I will literally remake you. He wants us to learn from him by yoking ourselves to him in his humility and his meekness. And that's when we have great rest. Because no matter what else is going on, rest doesn't mean inactivity. Rest means peace. And we have that when we're yoked to the Lord. But that type of rest to which God calls us, that gift of rest that he wants to give us, isn't easily obtained. It doesn't strike us when we're rolling downhill, when we're sitting at the beach with our toes in the warm water. It happens through striving. This word strive is the same word agonize. Give 100%. Work hard to enter into this rest. And the Holy Spirit comes to strengthen us to do that work, but we have to have that willing spirit. And to inspire us to have that willing spirit, we've got two examples today. The first is the gospel. We see the striving, the agonizing of these friends of the paralyzed man. They probably had tried to bring their friend to Jesus when Jesus was in Peter's house, curing everybody on the Sabbath. He healed everybody from sundown until the middle of the night. And then he escaped after the crowds dissipated in order to go out and pray. When they came to him, they said, everybody's looking for you. People were still coming with those who weren't able to see him the night before. But Jesus went off to the neighboring towns because he had to preach there too. That was the purpose for which he had come. But today he returns to Capernaum after some days. And as soon as word got out, everybody starts coming again. And so many people were there that these four friends couldn't get their handicapped pal in. But it didn't stop them. Almost nobody would have ever come up with this idea, and it was a very dangerous, it was a risky one. But they looked up, and they climbed up on the roof, took out the various palm branches that would be between wooden beams mixed with clay on the roof, took it off, and lowered their buddy, literally right on top of Jesus. And as we meditate on the scene, we can just see that this wasn't easy. They've got a quadriplegic that they're carrying on a stretcher. To balance the stretcher, to be able to get him up on the roof and to lower him down wasn't just difficult, but it was life-threatening. If they start to fumble and this guy falls head first, he can crack everything. He can't stop the falling with his hands. And yet, with great care, with great courage, they lifted him up and lifted him down. And the evangelists tell us, seeing their faith, Jesus responded to the man and did the most important thing he does for any of us. Child, your sins are forgiven. Jesus had come into the world. Everything that he did was to take away our sins and reconcile us to the Father. And he gave that paralyzed man, right off the bat, the greatest gift of all. And seeing the lack of faith in those who were grumbling around, he worked that second miracle and allowed this paralyzed man to walk out the door with a stretcher. They strived, they agonized, they didn't take no for an answer, they didn't let obstacles get in their way. The Lord wants us to have that same type of grit as we seek Him. Seek to yoke ourselves to Him. Seek to allow Him to bring us to perfection. Seek to have serenity in the midst of all our challenges because He is with us. The second great example we have today is St. Hilary of Poitiers. In the opening prayer, we ask the Lord for the same constancy that St. Hilary had in affirming Jesus' divinity in the early church. St. Hilary was a married man with children who was a pagan, very bright, very learned, but eventually converted along with his family to the faith. It was a time, the 4th century, of Arianism, people saying that Jesus was just a really, 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 really good man, but not God. Just like the grumblers among the Pharisees in the Gospel, who alone but God can forgive sins, and they were going to deny Jesus divinity. So the Arians were, and Hilary recognized he needed to fight it. So he was ordained a priest, and eventually when the Bishop of Poitiers died, even though he was married, they made a total exception and ordained him bishop. And he spent the whole rest of his life striving to teach the faith so that others would be able to enter fully into the rest of the Lord. His grit over the course of decades, when he could have been doing something far easier, is likewise an inspiration to us. Today, as we come forward, Jesus wants to do something far greater for us than he did for this paralyzed man. He wants to give himself to us so that, yoking himself to us from the inside, he may, through the sufferings of our life, through all the other difficulties, bring us to perfection, bring us to rest even from the devil, eternally in his kingdom. We seek to strive to cooperate with that work each minute, each day, each year. And on this day in which so many of your sisters are going to be going to St. Patrick's for the funeral of Stephen MacDonald, we can look to his example of striving to forgive, striving to give witness, and rejoice that the Lord has given this man who was paralyzed by those bullets an eternal gift of rising to be able to stand fully in the Lord's presence forever. These realities of the Eucharist and what it points to, resurrection, is something that should get us to glorify God, saying, not only we've never seen anything like this, but we've never even imagined that God would love us so. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.